Say that one more time. I said that I'm dating your brother, Sarah said, repeating the secret, or rather former secret, she had just told Lara. The pair were sitting at a table in the hotel restaurant. The hotel had hosted the competition they had won that very day. Lara sat at the table in complete shock, with her mouth agape as she stared across at Sarah. Lara had assumed she had misheard Sarah the first time, or perhaps she merely hoped she had misheard, but there was no denying it the second time. Her personal life and her professional one had come crashing together in an instant. Well, dating might be a stretch. We're fucking, Sarah said with a laugh. Lara struggled to find the words in which to respond. What? When? How? Lara stammered, her voice cracking slightly as she fumbled for words. How do they even know each other? Oh, come on, Lara. How and when do you think? When he came to the club, of course, Sarah said. When Sean came to the club, Lara thought to herself. It started to make more sense. Lara hadn't told her parents or brother what she did for a living. They thought she was merely waitressing at the Pearl and not stripping. In fact, at the time, she hadn't even told any of them she worked there at all. Sean had come into the club with his pockets full of money from his injury settlement and had paid for some time in one of the VIP rooms. Dave had ordered her to entertain the kid, who had dollars to burn. Of course, neither Lara nor Dave had known who the high roller was until she had entered the room. Dave had been on the verge of firing Lara that day, and refusing the order would mean no job and a blacklisting from every club with which Dave had an ounce of influence. So Lara did what she felt she had to. She donned a mask, affected an accent, and danced for him. Her plan had been to direct him towards another dancer, but Sean had been aggressive with his demand. Luckily, Sarah had interrupted them and agreed to take over before things had gone too far. They went plenty far enough, she thought to herself, unable to suppress a shudder at the unwanted memories. All of this flashed through Lara's mind as Sarah sat there with an easy smile on her face. The redhead continued with her explanation. You were practically begging me to take over for you with him. He was loaded and an easy mark. Why would you pass that up? It didn't make sense. And what can I say? I'm a curious sort of ginger cat, so when I was finished with Casanova in there, I started asking him some questions. It didn't take long to figure out, Lara. It was fairly simple. We aren't exactly talking inception levels of intricacy here. You worked there, he didn't know, nobody knew, and you wanted to keep it that way, Sarah said. Lara brought her hands up to her face in reflex as the implications of what Sarah was telling her started to sink in. Oh, fuck, I can't fucking believe this. Sarah, please tell me you haven't told him what I do, that it was me in there, Lara said, the blood draining from her face completely as she started to panic. Relax, Lara. I covered for you. He still thinks you are just a waitress. I wouldn't out you like that, she said, her voice softer now. Lara examined Sarah's face and considered the intent of the woman. Her demeanor seemed relaxed and almost jovial. There was no malice or spite in her words. This wasn't a gotcha moment of a bitch performing a takedown of a rival. It didn't appear Sarah had an ulterior motive other than telling Lara the truth. Lara's mind whirred as she thought through some of her more recent interactions with Sarah from that point on. They had hated each other from the start, there was no denying that. But thinking hard about it, their relationship had thawed somewhat following on from that night. Sarah had been more pleasant to her in the last few weeks. Sarah had thanked Lara for the advice about price. Plus, she had agreed to stop spreading rumors about Jack when Lara had asked. Maybe this was why? That conversation in the changing rooms at the Pearl about Jack flashed into a memory, an offhand comment Sarah had made at the time. That's what you meant that day a few weeks back when you joked that my secret was safe with you, Lara said, a moment of understanding suddenly dawning on her. Sarah nodded. I couldn't help messing with you a little. Sue me. Sarah said with a wry grin. You are the mystery girl Sean has been seeing lately? Lara asked. Lara shook her head in disbelief. Lara had even texted Sean and wished him luck on his first date with Sarah. Yep, that's me. Sarah, why? What can you possibly be doing with him if not messing with me? He's 19 years old, for fuck's sake. Lara asked her, clearly exasperated with the entire turn of events. It's a 4-year age gap. Let's not get carried away. And why? Why not? He's fun. He's got a sexy body and he lays the pipe great, Sarah said, raising her eyebrows suggestively as she said it. Stop, I can't be hearing this, Lara said, scrunching up her eyes and pressing her fingers into her temples. Don't be coy, Lara. I know you've seen the weapon he's working with, up close and personal. He told me that the previous girl in the VIP before me, called Lila, had given him a damned good blow, Sarah said, the mirth evident on her face before she was interrupted. Stop! Jesus Christ, stop! This isn't my life. I can't believe this is happening, Lara said, as she buried her face in her hands completely. She didn't want to think about that time in the VIP and was distraught at the fact that somebody else knew. Oh, take a chill pill, Lara. It's no big deal, Sarah said dismissively as she grabbed her milkshake and took another sip from it. Lara removed her hands from her face and looked over at Sarah in complete astonishment. No big deal? It's perverted. It's disgusting, Lara blurted out. Sarah simply shrugged. If you say so. Personally, I think it's fucking hot. Think about it. It's like a good smart novel you'd pick up at the airport to read on vacation, or some softcore movie you'd catch at silly o'clock at night, Sarah said, her face filled with glee. Sarah launched into a speech in the manner of a movie trailer. In a world where desire and desperation collide, a beautiful temptress, her identity concealed by an alluring mask, takes the stage. Night after night she dances for men, but her life forever changes when her own brother arrives, unaware of the secret his sister harbors. Blind to the truth, he falls under her spell, drawn to the tantalizing promise of forbidden fruit. Enough. Fucking hell, you're like Anne Rice over here, Lara said, cutting Sarah off from her movie trailer impression. Admit it, it's hot as fuck. And if it wasn't you involved, you'd think it was hot too, Sarah said. Listen, no judgment here. I remember that day. You had just punched out a client. We all thought Dave would fire your ass. If you had refused to go in there, he would have for sure. You did what you had to, Sarah said. Lara sighed. She knew Sarah's view on this wouldn't be widely held. Please, take this to your grave, Sarah. It would destroy my entire family, Lara said pleadingly. My lips are sealed, like yours were. Around his cock, Sarah said with a guffaw. You'd easily know you don't have any brothers, Sarah, Lara said, shaking her head in bemusement. Can we move on from that night? I still don't know why you went after him. I mean, sure, you wanted info on me, I get that. But why take things further? I just can't get my head around it. He's a year out of high school. What do you guys even do together? Lara asked. What do we do? Well, yesterday he bent me over the... Sarah began. Not what I meant, Lara said, pursing her lips as Sarah chuckled some more. So it's just about the sex? Lara asked. No. I mean, don't get me wrong, the sex is great, but it's other stuff, Sarah said. She paused as if thinking about how to word her next response. Lara, we are surrounded by scumbags for half the day. It feels nice to be with a normal guy. Besides, he's loaded. What do you mean by that? Lara said, starting to worry now. Sean was popular with the girls when he was in high school, but this was something different. Sarah could chew him up and spit him out. She didn't want her brother taken advantage of. He's buying new things? Yes, and I'm buying him stuff too. Look, it's not that deep. What guys are we exposed to every day at the club? Middle-aged suburban dads? No thanks. Inferiority complex assholes who can't deal with the fact that we make more money than them? Pass. Heroes looking to save us? Ugh. Old rich farts who are just looking for a sugar baby. Been there, done that. Or perhaps the worst ones. The Wall Street wannabe financed douchebag? Not on your life, Sarah said, her face scrunched up in distaste at the thought of it. She continued, Sean has his own money, so I don't have to deal with that nonsense, but he wasn't born with it, so he doesn't have that privileged rich guy attitude, Sarah said, laying it out for Lara. It was clear that they'd been doing more than just having sex. Sarah knew things. Sean had obviously been telling Sarah about Lara's life. Sarah had made that offhand comment about Lara having academic ambitions, which was clearly a story from Sean. Lara had little choice then to conclude that Sarah and her brother being together wasn't just some joke. Lara had to admit, the more Sarah talked, the more it made a little more sense. I guess it's not that weird. He is a good guy. And obviously he knows what you do and is cool with it. I guess that's a plus. I mean, you met him in the VIP, Lara said. Lara watched as Sarah frowned a little now, her eyes narrowing. I hope you're not suggesting I'm not good enough for him. You don't want your brother dating a whore, is that it? Sarah asked, her tone suddenly sharp and accusatory. Are you serious? Sarah, have you seen yourself? You are way out of his league. He probably thinks all of his Christmases have come at once. He's dating a stripper. He'll dine out on this with his buddies for the rest of his life, believe me, Lara said, smiling for the first time since they sat down. Sarah smiled back, seemingly mollified. Well, I don't know about his buddies. He hasn't introduced me to any of them yet. But I am invited to your family barbecue in a couple of weeks. You, me, Sean, and both your parents. Fun for the whole family, Sarah said. Lara grimaced as the memory of her parents mentioning the barbecue to her when they visited her new apartment flashed into her mind. I guess that's him making things official with you, Lara surmised. Sarah nodded before answering. Yeah, about that. He told your parents that I'm just a waitress at the Pearl too, so we are sharing that lie together, I suppose, Sarah said conspiratorially. Probably for the best. My dad wouldn't approve, Lara said somewhat ruefully. Oh, I'm sure I could win him round. Dads love me, Sarah said with a wicked smile. I'm sure they do. My dad is old school, though. It's why I haven't told him. He's a kind and gentle man, but he has some pretty hard-coded ideas about ethics and morals. You'd find him a tough nut to crack, Lara told her. I'm good with a man's nuts, Sarah retorted, and mimed cradling some balls in her hands. Lara simply rolled her eyes and went back to eating her fries. Back at the Pearl, Dave glanced at his phone. Yes, girls, I fucking love you, Dave cried out in triumph to the empty room as he stared down at the text message filling up the screen of his phone. Lara and Sarah had just messaged him. The message said that the pair had won the lap dancing competition taking place at the Silver Inn Hotel. Dave couldn't have been happier. The Pearl was a new club, and Dave had entered with the hope of winning the statewide competition at the first time of asking. And according to the girl's message, he had succeeded. Now he got to rub it in his rival's face. Salvatore Gambini's club, Silk, had won the competition last year. Dave hated the man. Gambini had the trophy for the Lappies, as the competition was colloquially known, pride of place in his club. The trophy was the first thing you could see when you walked into his club. You couldn't miss it. Well, you'll miss it now. I can't wait to see the look on the arrogant prick's face when I waltz in and take his trophy, Dave thought to himself with glee. He'd have to reward Lara and Sarah for their stellar work, beyond just the prize money, which he had told them they could keep. They deserved it. He'd wanted to win Sal's favourite trophy. That had been the main aim. But the positive buzz would help too. The increased traffic into the club following the win was the cherry on top. He leaned back in his large leather chair and basked in the feeling of victory as he sipped his glass of bourbon, alone in his office. His thoughts were interrupted, though, by the buzzing of his phone. He stared at the screen as it told him who was rudely interrupting his moment of victory. Jack, in bold letters, gave him the answer, his head of security. He grumbled to himself as he answered the call. Go, he said simply down the phone. Boss, there is a guy here at the bar who wants to see you. I told him you were busy, but he keeps insisting. He says he knows you, Jack said from down the line. What's his name? Is it Sal Gambini? Dave asked. Now excited at the prospect of the Italian-American delivering his trophy in person, his excitement was short-lived. No. This guy's name is Will Kane, Jack answered. Dave frowned in disappointment. Yeah, it's fine, Jack. Send the kid up, Dave said, and ended the call. To say Dave knew Will was a bit of a stretch. He was Lenny's pal. Lenny had recommended him to Dave for one of Dave's passion projects. Dave had filmed a lap dance tutorial video that he wanted to sell online to other clubs. The video had starred Lara, and Dave had needed some attractive male talent to be in the chair as she danced. Will had jumped at the chance. Of course, it had never happened. Not like that, at any rate. Lara had balked at the idea of Will being in the video. Thoroughly balked. In fact, she'd gone ballistic. And so Dave had unceremoniously fired the guy on the spot. Dave was rather thankful in the end for those fortuitous turn of events, as Dave himself had taken Will's spot in the chair as Lara performed. She had given Dave one hell of a dance and even finished it off by blowing him. Dave thought fondly of his first proper sexual encounter with the gorgeous brunette. He had followed that encounter up with another one since and intended to do so again and again in the future. But that was for another time. For now, he was curious as to what the pretty boy wanted to see him about. He heard a double tap rap at his office door and called out to the man on the other side. Come in. Will Kane entered his office and strolled casually up to him. Dave eyed him up as he approached. Dave knew Will would have zero problems with the ladies. He had a strong jaw and a charming sort of smile. A far cry from Dave, Will had model good looks. He was well dressed, unsurprisingly. Dave was no fashion expert, but he could tell the kid was dressed head to toe in Ralph Lauren's latest overpriced line. He was tall, much taller than Dave, broad-chested too. He'd pose an intimidating figure if Dave didn't already know he was just a pretty boy who came from privilege. Will's father was CEO of WonderTech and a bona fide billionaire. Dave assumed the kid had never worked a day in his life and would never have to. Will, my boy, good to see you again. What can I do for you? Dave said as he leaned back in his chair. He didn't get up to greet him or offer him his hand. This was his domain, and he was making sure Will knew it. Will noticed the slight but brushed past it and offered an easy and practiced smile as he sat down across the large desk from Dave. Well, Dave, I'm having something of a get-together for me and a bunch of my pals, and I need to hire some entertainment for the night. Obviously, your fine establishment came to mind first, Will said, laying the flattery on thick. Certainly, certainly, I'd be happy to help. What sort of get-together are we talking about specifically? Dave asked. I'm pledging a frat in college, the Kappa Omega Kappas, and the event is a sort of welcoming celebration for all the pledges who've made it, Will told him. So, a frat party? Dave asked. Will nodded. Of course, Will hadn't pledged a thing, at least not at first. Alan was the only one of their group who had pledged properly, all the customary challenges and Hell Week included. Will and Rob had thought it beneath them and hadn't bothered. But now, Will had his own reasons for wanting to be in. For anyone else, it would be a non-starter. But Will didn't consider himself most people. He was buying his way in at the last minute, and he figured that hiring a bunch of strippers for the party was a surefire way of ingratiating himself with the chapter president and his lackeys. I'm sure I can accommodate that. Which one of my girls would you like to hire for your event? Dave asked. Will's smile widened, displaying his perfect and white teeth. I don't think you understand, Mr. Miller. I'm not looking to hire one. I want to hire all of them, your entire roster, Will told him confidently. Dave practically burst out laughing at the absurd request. Not a hope, my boy. Who would be left to dance for my customers? I have to close for the night, and I can't have that. The Pearl is a 365-day-a-year establishment. We're even open on Christmas. You'll have to scale back your plans, I'm afraid, Dave said. The balls on this kid, Dave thought. I had a feeling you might say that, so I came prepared, Will said as he reached inside his jacket pockets with both his left and right hands. He pulled out a couple of rolls of cash from both pockets, and then three more after that, and placed them all in a row on the desk. Dave's eyes raised in surprise. That's $100,000 in cash and up front, Will said, a smug look on his face. It should cover any expenses you have for the night I have your dances. Dave looked at the pile of cash. It was an obscene amount of money for a single night. But even still, he wasn't going to roll over for the jumped up little shit. It's still a no, I'm afraid. The pearl stays open, no matter what. I simply can't permit all my girls to take an outside job all at once. Sorry, kid. Will's face darkened. He didn't appreciate being talked down to, but he knew which buttons to push. How disappointing. I guess I'll have to go elsewhere with my needs. Any recommendations? I hear Silk is pretty hopping right now with beautiful girls. That's Gambini's place, right? Will said as he motioned to get up and reached out to gather the rolls filled with $100 bills. The gambit worked. Dave's body language shifted immediately and his tone changed to a more conciliatory one. He didn't want the pile of cash leaving his club, especially not if it went to his direct competitor. Hold your horses, we can negotiate, of course, Dave said. Fine. If I can't have all of them, what sort of numbers are we talking about here? Will asked, sitting back down. I want 10. 5, Dave countered. How about 8? 6, but that's my final offer, Dave said gruffly. Will looked contemplative for a moment before responding. Fine, 6, you have a deal, but I want to pick the girls myself, Will told him. That's reasonable, Dave said. He fished out a large leather binder filled with pictures of all of his employed dancers. Here is my entire stable of girls. Take your pick, he said as he slid the binder across the table. Will eagerly opened it up and started to peruse the book of beautiful women, his eyes lighting up as he scanned the pages. He picked his first almost straight away. This redhead here with the killer body, I want her, Will said as he pointed at a picture of Sarah who was practically eye-fucking the camera. Dave nodded his assent. He wasn't surprised by the first choice. She leapt off the page and grabbed your attention, that was for sure. Will stared at her for a while as he imagined what her tits would feel like wrapped around his cock. He had an inkling that she would be good at it too. That's Sarah, I'll mark her down. And this blonde girl here. Her too, Will said, pointing out Jenny. Dave frowned, but didn't say anything. Jenny was his daily relief girl. In fact, an hour earlier, she had been on her knees under the same desk they sat at, blowing Dave for all she was worth. Dave figured he'd have to forgo her services for the night in question. Jenny, that's 2, Dave said as he picked up a pen and started making a list for himself. Will flipped a couple more pages before settling on his next choice. This one here, with the dark hair and the giant dump truck. Fuck me, what an ass, Will said as he marveled at Jessica, who was posing with her back to the camera, her rear on full display for the lens. Will conjured images in his own mind of smacking her ass and watching it jiggle as he screwed her from behind. It's impressive, for sure, Dave answered him. Jessica's parents came from somewhere in South America. Dave couldn't remember where exactly, but it gave her an exotic look which, coupled with her body, made her a popular choice. When she bothers to show up for work, Dave thought ruefully. He was still pissed that she had bailed on the competition today. Still, Lara had stepped in. It had all worked out in the end. And Jessica makes 3. Who's next? I don't know. Will said. The chapter president is from Texas. Are any of these lot from the South? They can share tales of hog-tying or some other crap that Hicks talk about together. Yes, Brittany, one of our newer girls. She's the blonde on the last page and is from the South. I'm sure she'll tick your boxes when you see her, Dave recommended. Absolutely, she'll do all right, Will said, impressed with her picture now that he saw her. She had the look of an old-school blonde Playboy bunny. So, Brittany brings your total to 4, Dave said, adding Brittany's name to his list. I'll need someone petite for the guys who are into that sort of thing. You don't seem to employ many of them, Will said, looking up at Dave. Guilty as charged. I like him stacked, Dave replied with a grin. But if you need that sort of look, you want Joe. Page 5, Dave suggested. Yeah, I guess, Will said as he eyed up Joe's photo. She didn't have much up top to speak of, but he was sure he could throw her around with a single hand, such was their size disparity. He privately wondered how somebody her size could accommodate him if he buried himself to the hilt in her. He promised himself he'd find out. With Joe, that's 5. You have 1 pick left. Make it a good one, sport, Dave said. Oh, I know exactly who I'm going to pick, Will said, closing the binder. He didn't need it for his last pick. I want Lara. Dave figured as much. He knew they had some sort of history, judging by Lara's previous reaction to the man. Dave suspected she might have a problem with the booking, but for $100,000 he'd put his foot down. It was too much money to pass up for a single night's work, even if he had to part with six of his dancers. I'll tell her, so that's your party sorted. A good lineup, I must say, Dave told him. It was true. He had chosen a varied assortment of girls. Red-haired, raven-haired, brunette, and blonde, with a range of body types and complexions. I assume you have the date and time locked down? Dave asked. Yes, but before that, can I take another look at that binder? Will asked. Dave shrugged and handed it back to the man. Will opened it and took out his phone. What are you doing? Dave asked. Taking photos of the six lovely ladies. I'm going to show the photos to my new Greek brothers and we'll have a vote, Will told him as his phone started to flash as he took the photographs. Vote on what exactly? To decide what they are going to wear. I want them all in costume. Back at Lara's apartment, Lara leaned over and stared into the small vanity mirror on her desk as she held up some small golden earrings as if deciding to wear them or not. After a few seconds of deliberation, she attached them. She checked to make sure they were securely fastened and then stood back up and headed over to the full-size mirror in the corner of her bedroom. She examined herself and her outfit in the long mirror and felt pleased with the result. She had visited a salon and had her hair professionally done. Her long, chestnut-coloured hair that usually flowed down her back had instead been styled into an elegant updo, swept high and away from her face in an intricate arrangement of soft curls and sleek swept-back sections. A few carefully selected strands of hair hung down to frame her beautiful face, drawing the eye to her striking features. Her makeup was sophisticated and understated, which was what she knew would be called for with an event such as this. As for her dress, it was a sleek black number that plunged in the rear to expose the majority of her back. The front dipped down in a modest V-shaped neckline that on many women would be considered conservative or perhaps demure, but Lara's sizable chest put an end to any such thoughts with the generous amount of cleavage on display. The dress ended at her thighs, just above her knees, showing off her long legs. It clung to her body tightly, highlighting her incredible figure. The little black dress was one she'd worn before. It was what she had been wearing on her first day in the Pearl. She had interviewed and auditioned for Dave in the dress before being sent to the VIP to entertain Captain Price. Price had been rough with her. He'd taken command halfway through her dance and mercilessly fucked her face before coming down her throat. She found it fitting that she would be wearing the same dress tonight as she finally took the pig down. The girls at the club had put up with him and his arrangement with Dave for far too long. After his brutal assault on Joe, Lara was determined to end the bastard. She'd do what she had to make it happen. Lara smoothed a small crease in the dress with her hands as she nodded in satisfaction. Tonight, the dress was a weapon in her arsenal, one of many she would need. The plan itself was simple. Price had insisted that Lara accompany him to some swanky ball that the police brass were hosting. She'd go with him and seduce him. Not that it would normally take much effort, but Lara planned to go all out with her tempting and teasing. Play the proper little temptress. Spend the evening getting him truly worked up until he was desperate. Then, when he was at his limit, she'd suggest they go somewhere private. Somewhere she had already set up her phone in a hidden location to record them. She knew he wouldn't accept the idea of her suddenly saying no. She'd put on a show, scream bloody murder, knowing full well he wouldn't listen and would try to take her anyway. It would all, hopefully, be captured on her phone. She planned to tase the fucker and leave with the incriminating evidence of his attempted rape. It would destroy him. She'd blur her own face and release the video to as wide an audience as possible. She figured Lenny could help with that. He'd know all the best internet places to make sure it went viral. Official charges didn't matter, the court of public opinion would be enough. A video of the captain trying to rape a woman would be enough to oust him. Lara knew it would be unpleasant, on many levels. She'd have to really ratchet her sluttiness up to 11 for the prick. She'd have to let him get close to her, touch and feel her. The idea gave her the creeps. She was also breaking a promise to Mike. She'd promised him that she wouldn't engage with Price in any way, that she would stay away from him. She was about to break that promise. There was also the danger of Price's retaliation once his career was in flames. He'd hit back, she was sure of it. Not to mention the murky morality of setting him up. But she didn't care about any of it. She was doing it. Joe had been the last straw as far as she was concerned. With a steely look of determination, she grabbed her clutch purse, which contained her taser, and headed for the door. Price had gotten a limousine and was picking her up from the Pearl. She'd drive and park there. She didn't want him to know where she lived. He could likely find out himself, but that didn't mean she was going to volunteer the information. She closed her front door behind her and walked towards where she had parked her Beetle. 20 minutes later, Lara stood leaning against her parked Beetle outside the Pearl as she waited for Captain Price to arrive. She was shivering, not from the cold, in fact it was quite a warm night, but rather from a combination of nerves, trepidation and excitement. It was the waiting that was making her feel that way. She knew that once the night actually began and she got into the swing of her act, that she would be fine. She was used to it in a way. She spent most of her days pretending, all for the pleasure of men. This would be no different. Finally, Lara noticed a long black limousine arriving. It pulled up and stopped close to her. One of the back doors opened and out stepped Captain Edward Price. She hadn't seen him since her first night at the Pearl. He was a bear of a man, just as tall and stocky as she remembered. He was wearing a black suit with a grey buttoned-up shirt. He had slicked his hair back and groomed his large moustache. He clearly wanted to make a good impression on her or on his bosses. She wasn't sure. "Showtime," she thought. "Lara, darling," Price said boisterously as he cleared the limo. "Good evening, Captain," Lara responded, painting a fake smile across her face as she stepped forward towards him. She leaned in and kissed him on the cheek, which took him by surprise, but he recovered quickly and beamed at her. "You look spectacular tonight, I must say," Price said as he stared at her. "Give me a little spin." Lara extended both her arms to her side and spun slowly in front of him, showing off her rear and the back of her dress as she did it. She turned back to face him. "So, will I do?" she asked. "Absolutely. Everyone will be jealous of me with you on my arm," Price said. He motioned with his arm towards the limo. "Shall we go?" he asked. "Sure," she replied as she dipped low and entered the limo. She knew he was staring at her ass as she did it. She wasn't wearing any panties to avoid any lines. The dress hugged her like a second skin, so she was sure he was enjoying the view. He waited a moment before joining her inside the spacious limo. She sat opposite him as he took the seat next to the divider. He gave the divider a quick double tap with his knuckles to signal their driver that it was time to depart. As Lara felt the car lurch and begin to pull away, she locked eyes with Price and crossed her legs. Price found himself staring at them as she did it. His eyes roamed the rest of her and then focused on her expansive cleavage. As he ogled her, he felt his arousal growing instantly. Price, I forgot how damned hot she was. This outing was important to his career. If it hadn't been, he would have seriously considered ditching it, telling the driver to turn around and taking her home immediately. Patience. Duty first, pleasure comes after. Lara cocked her head to the side slightly and gazed at him. She figured he wouldn't be oblivious to a good eye-fucking. She hoped he would pick up on it. "Is this your first time in a limo?" Price asked, a hint of condescension present in his tone. Lara ignored it. Tonight wasn't the night. She had to let comments like that slide off her. "No, but I have to say it's my first time in one this nice. I hope you didn't go to all this trouble for little old me," she asked him as she batted her eyelashes at him. He smiled as he answered. "Only the best for a lady who accompanies me," he answered. "That reminds me. Close your eyes and hold out your hands," he said as he reached a hand into his pocket. Lara didn't think much of the notion of closing her eyes in front of the man. She wouldn't put it past him to pull out his dick and shove it in her face before telling her to open her eyes, followed by opening her mouth. It was the sort of thing men like him did. But she put such thoughts aside and acquiesced to his silly game. She closed her eyes and held out her hands, palms up, as she was asked. She felt Price place a felt box in them. "Open them," Price said, clearly pleased with himself. Lara looked down at the expensive-looking jewelry box he had placed there. She glanced up at him before opening it. In the box was a necklace, a diamond necklace, in fact. She removed it gently from the cushioned box and held it out in front of her. The necklace held 5 separate diamonds together in what appeared to be a platinum chain. The middle diamond of the 5 was much larger than those that flanked it. The centerpiece would catch the eye of even the most distracted person. The diamond was large and teardrop-shaped. Lara didn't consider herself an expert, but she knew enough to know this diamond was expensive. To her eye, it looked flawless. It wasn't just the impressive size, it was the clarity. There wasn't a hint of cloudiness in the stone. It caught the light beautifully and scattered it throughout the limo interior. "I borrowed it from a friend of mine who runs a high-end store, especially for tonight." "Especially for you," Price told her. She could tell he enjoyed bragging about the situation, as if he was letting her know he was a powerful man with friends in high places. "Beautiful, isn't it?" "It certainly is," she replied honestly. She marveled as the diamond sparkled in the shifting light of the limo. "It'll look even more beautiful on you." "Here, join me and turn around so I can put it on you," Price said in a commanding manner. Lara got up off her seat and joined him on his, as she perched with her back to him on the edge of his seat between his legs. She held the necklace up to her décolletage and felt his large hands grasp the necklace and fumble with the latches at the back of her neck. He was trying and failing to clasp it, and she thought she knew why. From his position seated behind her, he had a tantalizing view down her dress at her breasts. She swiveled her head around to meet him. "Her tits look incredible," he thought to himself. "Everything okay back there?" she asked coyly. "Yes, fine," Price said as he finally succeeded in attaching the necklace to her neck. "There." Lara started to shift out of the seat when she felt Price's hands grab her around the waist and scoot her back into the seat and against his lap. She didn't resist. In fact, she started to subtly and ever so slightly grind herself into him. "You can stay right here, sweetheart," Price said as he enjoyed the feeling of her ass against his growing erection. "Oh, can I now?" Lara said as she increased her undulations. She could feel his hardness, her thin dress offering little in terms of a barrier. "Do you like that?" she asked seductively as she started to speed up. He grunted in affirmation. "You know, I'm not on the clock right now. So you are getting this lap dance for free. I don't do this for just anyone, Captain," she said, grinding into him harder as she set his rank. Lara felt the limo slow and come to a stop. She heard the driver call out from through the closed divider. "We're here, sir." Lara heeded the call from the driver and quickly slid off Price and returned to her seat, ending the impromptu lap dance. Price grumbled in frustration. "Let's go around the block a couple of times and finish what we started," he said as he reached out to Lara, clearly intending to pull her back onto his lap. She laughed, evading his grasp and reaching for the door handle. "We don't want to be late, Captain," she said slyly as she pushed open the door and stepped quickly out of the limo. He reluctantly followed her out of the car and into the night air. A red carpet had been laid out to guide them as Lara felt Price hook his arm in hers as the pair walked towards the large ornate entrance to the building. They walked through the expensive and ancient-looking wooden double doors and through the foyer and into the massive ballroom filled to the brim with the higher-ups of the police department and other political elites. She could hear the murmured conversations surrounding them as they maneuvered their way through the large hall. Dozens of round dinner tables littered the room, paper cards with names donning each table. Lara could hear classical music being played by a string quartet in the corner and resisted the urge to shake her head in disbelief. Taxpayers' money being well spent here so the higher-ups can congratulate each other on how amazing they are and how good their own farts smell, she thought disdainfully. But she said nothing and simply smiled as Price led her through the room. She could tell people were staring, no doubt wondering who the woman on Price's arm was as they secretly judged her. She caught the odd appreciative glance along with some less subtle leering as she passed group after group of mostly grey-haired men. Those of them with dates eyed her up jealously, and she was sure she caught a few sneers from the corner of her eye. Price had picked up on it too. "They are staring, Lara. Do you know why?" Price asked as he leaned in to whisper in her ear. "Curiosity," she answered softly. He shook his head. "The women hate you for showing them up, and the men? The men want to bed you. How does that make you feel?" Price asked her. "It makes me feel normal. What you described is just a regular Friday night for me," she answered glibly. He laughed softly. Price's attention then switched to two fancily dressed men standing directly ahead of them. "That is the chief of police with the chairman of the police union over there. I need to say hello. Come on," he said as he guided them both towards the men. Lara couldn't help but notice the physical difference between Captain Price and the chief of police. Where Price was tall, broad, and relatively fit, the chief was a short and portly man. He was wearing a dress police uniform that was old and clearly had been tailored to the man in his youth when he was much slimmer. It did not fit him well, and his shirt looked like it was about to burst at the seams, the buttons holding on for all they were worth. The union man, on the other hand, was tall and gangly with large and round glasses that made him look almost cartoonish. He was in a tuxedo, which looked like it had first been worn in the 80s. The pair were an odd couple indeed. "Chief Willis?" "Chairman Brown," Captain Price said as they reached the pair of men. "Evening, Edward," the police chief said as he greeted Captain Price with a firm handshake. "Some swanky shindig this year, eh?" "Yes, sir, it really is," Price replied to the chief. "And who is this lovely creature on your arm?" Chief Willis asked, his eyes roaming over Lara's body as he said it. "This is Lara, my date for the evening," Price said, a hint of pride evident in his voice. Lara held out her hand in a dainty fashion. The police chief took Lara's hand and bent low to kiss it. "Hello, gentlemen. It's wonderful to meet you," Lara said as he kissed her hand. "Charmed to make your acquaintance, my dear," Chief Willis said as he smiled at her. He turned back towards Price. "Well done, Price," he said as he smiled. "On my date or my job performance?" Price asked, unsure if the chief was making a joke or giving him a compliment. "On both, but mostly the job. Chairman Brown and I were just now talking about you. You've certainly made an impression these past few months," Chief Willis said. "All part of the job, sir," Price responded, a wide smile forming due to the compliment. "Don't sell yourself short. You're clearly doing something right. Your numbers are some of the best across the nation," Brown said. The chief nodded in agreement and Price stood there, beaming at the professional recognition. Unbeknownst to the pair of them, Price was juking his stats. He had instructed his men that any case they picked up that was deemed too difficult to solve was quietly buried and left off the official reports. His clearance rate was completely fabricated. Price was careful and intended to keep his superiors in the dark and keep taking credit until it led to another promotion. The chief looked to his side and then motioned at Price. "That's the mayor over there, Price. We can catch up later. The four of us are seated together, I think. For now, go talk to him. It would do you good to go introduce yourself to him. Make sure he knows your name," Chief Willis said. "Will do, sir," Price answered back as he took a hold of Lara and headed towards where the chief had told him the mayor was standing. Once Price and Lara were out of earshot, Chief Willis looked back towards the union chairman beside him as the chairman spoke. "So, a hooker?" Brown asked. "Yes, a hooker," Chief Willis answered in agreement with his companion. Meanwhile, in an office at Miller's Movers, a job interview was well underway. "Well, your references check out, so that's the hard part over. I'll have to confirm this with the boss, but that's just a formality. As far as I'm concerned, welcome to the team, Mike." Mike Hawthorne reached forward from his chair to shake the man's hand. He was sitting in a tiny office at the truck depot of Miller's Movers, Dave Miller's moving company. He'd just secured a job there. His plan was to masquerade as a regular guy, just looking for short-term employment. He hoped his undercover access to the company would prove fruitful in his investigation into Dave, and ultimately his illegal dealing with Captain Price. Mike suspected that despite the apparent legitimacy of the moving company, that somewhere inside it, Dave was using the vehicles or the men to conduct some of his extracurricular activities. He'd just aced his interview. He was now a laborer at the company. "That's great to hear," Mike said as he shook the hand of the manager. You can relax. You gave a great interview, and thanks again for accommodating me by meeting me this late at night. It was the only time I had available. We are quite busy because we've had a few recent layoffs. It's all hands on deck, so your addition to the team is welcome, he told Mike. So, when do I start? Mike asked him as they both got to their feet. Tomorrow. We have a job moving some old ladies' furniture in the morning and then moving some company's hardware into their new office in the afternoon. Sounds good. I'll be here bright and early. Do you need my account details for payroll? Mike asked as they both headed out of the small office. No need. Cash, Mike. We pay in cash. Meanwhile at the ball, conversation was flowing. The governor is going to make enemies if he continues with this insane idea of raising the corporate tax rate. He's been told repeatedly that any gains made in the short term will come back to bite him in the ass, Chief Willis proclaimed to the table. Lara was only half listening to the conversation at this point. The group had been droning on endlessly since dinner had been served, and it showed no signs of stopping. Lara had enjoyed her filet mignon far more than she was enjoying the company. She had listened to the men discuss politics, each one trying to outdo the other with their so-called expertise and insight. Lara couldn't care less about the mundane chatter, but she knew she needed to feign enthusiasm. What do you think, Lara? Chief Willis asked. Lara looked up and tried to hide her surprise at being asked her opinion. Well, speaking strictly as a layman, I think a rise of 8% is foolhardy. Many businesses will simply up sticks and go elsewhere, to another state with more favourable conditions, Lara said, hoping her answer would satisfy the men at the table. So you think it's not the rise itself, but how big it is? Price asked, seemingly surprised the pair of tits he had invited could form a coherent thought. He took a drink of wine as he waited for her to answer. Absolutely. People won't take it. The rise is simply too big. I know, I'd have trouble swallowing something that large, Lara said lasciviously as she locked eyes with the captain. Price nearly choked on his drink as she said it, and there was a distinct murmur of chuckling coming from the other men at the table. Price put his glass down and returned her stare. He noticed that she had her thumb and forefinger wrapped around the long stem of her own wine glass and was subtly stroking the shaft of the glass with her delicate fingers. He could feel himself becoming hard as he imagined her fingers wrapped around his cock. He shifted uncomfortably and looked away, not wishing to be distracted from impressing the chief. Lara smiled to herself in triumph. She'd been ramping up the teasing since they had left the car. She'd taken every opportunity and excuse to touch him with every part of her body, as he had paraded her around the room before the dinner had been served. She'd laughed at his shitty jokes and doted on him as much as she could. All part of the plan. She looked up and noticed that the union man, whose name she believed to be Brown, was staring, or rather ogling, her tits from across the table. "Admiring my necklace, Mr. Brown?" Lara said innocently, knowing full well that he had been admiring features further south than the diamonds. Her comment had grabbed the attention of the rest of the table. He blushed as he realized she had noticed what he was doing. "Yes." It's very beautiful, the union man mumbled, embarrassed at being caught staring. It is, isn't it? Look at these jewels. Aren't they spectacular? Lara announced to the table as she sat up, leaned forward and stuck out her chest, ostensibly providing the table a better view of the necklace, but in reality just giving them a lewd look down her dress. The three men stared, delighted to be given cover to ogle her expansive cleavage as much as they wanted. Lara kept leaning until she was practically spilling out of the dress. Yes, they are quite a sight. Anybody would be quite fortunate to get their hands on something so delightful, Chief Willis said, while staring at her tits, his real meaning obvious to everyone. I bet you are all wondering if they are real or not, Lara said, shimmying her chest as she said it, the necklace moving along with her breasts. She watched the jaws of all three men drop, as she seemingly abandoned the pretense of talking about the diamonds. They are very real, no cubic zirconias here, all natural. Diamonds, she said with a grin. She was rewarded for her play on words by another round of laughing from the table. How long have you had them? Chief Willis asked. Nobody could mistake the double entendre. Oh, this is my first night with them. I'm wearing these diamonds tonight by the grace of the generous Captain Price, Lara said, gazing adoringly at Price as she said it. You must be very grateful, Chief Willis said, enjoying the loaded conversation. I haven't thanked him properly for them yet, but I will, Lara said as she licked her lips. Price coughed loudly to cover his surprised reaction. Look, the desserts are here, Lara said as she noticed a group of waiters arrive with their orders. Lara eyed up her dessert with calculated mischief as the waiter placed it in front of her. She had ordered a chocolate mousse that was covered with mountains of freshly whipped white cream that was surrounded by a number of large strawberries. She hadn't picked it by chance. She intended to put on a show and ratchet the sexual tension up a notch. Lara picked up the spoon that had been provided and dipped it into the chocolate mousse and held it there as the spoon filled up with the creamy dessert. Once the spoon was full, she lifted it to the front of her mouth and held it there as she locked eyes with Price. His eyes flicked towards hers. Once she had his attention, she parted her lips and guided the spoon into her mouth and swallowed the contents. Mm-hmm, she practically moaned as she pulled the spoon back. Is it good, Lara? Price asked. Simply divine. The creamy taste on my tongue is exquisite, Lara said as she went back for more. Her lips wrapped around the spoon again as she devoured another helping. This time, after she pulled the spoon back, she made a show of slowly licking all around her lips. Price watched on as his date practically filleted the utensil filled with cream. This latest stunt was just one incident in a long line of them this night. Lara had been behaving sluttier and sluttier as the night progressed, and he wasn't sure what to make of it. He knew she had been ordered to accompany him by Dave, so what was she playing at? Was she just making the most of it and enjoying herself? Or was there something more at play? Regardless, Price couldn't help but notice the other men at the table had stopped eating their own desserts to watch Lara's oral performance. He noticed the chief of police to his left shift in his seat and adjust himself. Part of Price wanted to warn her quietly to stop, that she was making a spectacle. The other, more primal part, wanted to bend her over the table in front of the entire hall and fuck her senseless. He wasn't quite sure which part was winning. He glanced again at the chief. The man he was desperate to impress seemed far more impressed by his date. Chief Willis was gazing longingly at Lara's lips as she slipped her tongue out to lap at the contents of her spoon. Price knew what he would be thinking. He'd be imagining Lara on her knees with her mouth wrapped around something far more substantial than a simple spoon. Thinking about how Lara's mouth would work his cock with the same agonizing precision as she was working the spoon, Bryce could hardly blame him. Lara continued to play to her audience. She moved on to the strawberries and picked one up and held it between her fingers. She dipped it down into the bowl and smothered the tip with whipped cream. She brought it to her mouth and closed her lips around half the strawberry. The men watched on with lust-filled eyes as she sucked hard on the strawberry, her mouth hollowing as she sucked the cream into her mouth. With a satisfied sigh, she then bit into it while giving each man at the table a few seconds of eye contact before dramatically swallowing it down. Delicious and creamy, just the way I like it, she said, her voice dripping with more obvious innuendo. The sexual tension was palpable until a man on the stage tapped a microphone a few times and broke the spell. Is this thing on? Okay. Welcome, everyone, and thank you all for being here. I have the great honor and privilege to introduce... Lara glanced over at Price as the speech continued. He was trying to hide it, but she could see the tenting of his suit pants. She was definitely having an effect. She planned to keep going. She needed his arousal heightened and him bordering on losing control. She knew what to do next. She crossed her legs and subtly shifted her chair to be closer to Price. Fuck, I need to go relieve myself somewhere. The little bitch has me so turned on. I can't be sitting here with a stiffy in front of my boss, Price thought to himself. Suddenly, he felt a hand on his thigh under the table. His eyes shot to Lara. She wasn't looking at him. Lara was staring at the man giving the speech while resting her chin on one hand, her elbow on the table. Her other hand, however, was working its way up his crotch. "It is an honour to be before all of you tonight." Price felt her hand cup around his bulge. She traced the shape of his cock through his suit trousers and massaged him slowly. Price reached down to remove her hand. This wasn't the time or place. If somebody saw what she was doing, he'd never live it down. He grabbed her hand and tried to subtly remove it, but she resisted him. He glared at her, but she ignored him and simply continued to stare at the man on the stage. What the fuck is she doing? This isn't a game. Price knew he could remove her hand forcefully, but he was terrified of making a scene, of somebody noticing what she was doing. He tried once more to subtly remove her hand, but she wrapped her entire hand around his clothed cock and squeezed firmly. He gasped and released her hand. Pleased that he had stopped resisting, Lara began to stroke him, her hand moving up and down his considerable length through the fabric. She could feel it getting harder and harder. The speech continued. "I must admit, there were times when I felt I didn't have a firm grasp on the situation in hand." She slipped her hand inside his suit trousers with a deft and quick movement and wrapped her fingers around his bare cock. Price hissed quietly as she did it. He tried to act nonchalant, but he was finding it difficult. His knuckles were turning white as he gripped the edge of the table tightly. Price was used to being in control, at work and with women, but here Lara was in control. He could feel the desire to reach out and slap Lara with his palm, a rebuke for embarrassing him like this, but it was overridden by his desire for her to keep going, even with the danger to his career that this act represented. This all went through his mind as the man on stage kept talking. "I knew I couldn't be timid. I had to be strong and thrust myself sincerely into my job." He jerked his hips involuntarily and banged on the table by accident as he felt her squeeze hard around his length. He tried to cover the movement with a cough but felt it was a feeble attempt at a cover. Lara was stroking faster now, her grip firm yet sensual as she jerked his shaft under the table. She increased her speed and pressure. She could feel the wetness of his pre-cum leaking out of him. She jerked him as the man on stage kept on with his inane babble. Fast-paced industry, things can go by like a blur. Her elbow and shoulder were moving quickly above the tablecloth, and anyone paying attention to her would surely know what she was doing, but all eyes were on the man making the speech, so she was free to jerk him to her heart's content. She could feel him throbbing in her hand and could hear his breathing beside her become heavier and louder. He was close. She knew that if she wanted, she could push him over the edge in a matter of seconds if she wanted to. She didn't. She needed him worked up and on edge. "I won't prattle on too long. I'll release you all from your obligation." "No release for you," Lara thought to herself. Lara suddenly stopped stroking him and held the very base of his cock in a death grip. She knew this technique would quickly stop any chance of his orgasm in its tracks. She held him there like a vice as he groaned under his breath. Once she was satisfied that he wasn't about to pop, she removed her hand from his trousers and wiped the moisture from her fingers in her napkin. "Thank you all for coming," the man on stage finished. Lara stifled a laugh at the unintended double entendre from the man on the stage. She glanced to her side and watched as Price readjusted himself as Chief Willis re-engaged him in conversation. Always was a bit of a windbag. Not much of a speech. Still, with the formalities over, what do you say we head over to the bar? I'll get the first round in, Willis said as he started to get out of his chair. Price shook his head. Another time, Chief. I've really got to be going, Price said as he got up out of his own seat and not so subtly grabbed Lara by the arm on his way up. It could be described as rude, even foolhardy. He should really accept the Chief's invitation and stay to rub elbows and schmooze some more. But he couldn't think straight. He needed to get Lara alone and relieve himself. He was practically manic with desire at this point. Oh, that's a shame. Well, it was lovely to meet you, Lara, Willis said as he reached out for her free hand, the other arm being held firmly by Price. She took it as he shook it daintily. He also took a card out of his pocket and handed it to her. This is my personal number. Call me anytime if you need anything. Or are looking for a job. I'm sure I could find a place for you on my staff, he said. Lara knew exactly what sort of job he was interested in having her do for him and was sure that the choice of words of place on his staff was no accident. He wants me on his Rockhart staff, more likely, she thought, but smiled outwardly and took the card anyway. But Price led her away from the table and towards the exit at a brisk pace. Lara knew what he had in mind next. This was what she had been building towards, but she was unsure exactly where the deed would take place. Should we get a room, Captain? Lara asked as he practically marched her out of the building. No need, we'll go to my place, Price said firmly. Lara hesitated. She had figured he would get a hotel room. At worst, pull her into a dark corridor or closet. She'd accounted for those scenarios in her planning, but going to his home would complicate matters. Still, she'd come this far. She'd adapt and deal with it. Lara could tell his body language had shifted. He was riled up and ready to go. She surmised he was also a little angry over her aborted handjob at the dinner table. As the limousine pulled up to the sidewalk, she gracefully stepped into it, with him following close behind. Take me home, driver, Price commanded, and then pressed the button to raise the motorized privacy divider between the front of the limo and the passenger cabin. As soon as it was up, he was on her in an instant. She knew he was horny and pissed off. Lara had been expecting some heavy petting on the way to his place, but she was still shocked at the ferocity of it. Price lunged across the space between them, his large frame looming over her as he pinned her against the leather seat. His hands gripped her wrists, yanking them above her head as he settled his weight on top of her. Before she could say a word, his mouth was on hers. He kissed her hard and aggressively, his lips moving over hers. She could feel the bristling of his handlebar moustache as he shoved his tongue into her mouth. His hands went straight to the front of her dress as he groped and squeezed her breasts through the material. He palmed her tits and she winced as she felt his fingers digging into the soft flesh as he kneaded them roughly. He was hurting her. She needed to take back control or this would end badly. Lara managed to pull her mouth away from his insistent kisses for just a moment. Easy, Captain, we should slow down. Let's not rush this, she said, trying to keep her voice low and husky sounding. She didn't want him to know she was worried. Well, hun, teasing like that has consequences, Missy. A fucking meteor wouldn't stop me from taking you tonight, Price said as he started to kiss and suck at her neck. Oh, I know, I can't wait until you are fucking me, making me scream. But there is plenty of time for that, and let's not spoil it. This is a marathon, not a sprint, she told him as she pressed her hands on his chest firmly to generate some distance between them. Let me finish what I started earlier, Lara said with false eagerness as she reached for his crotch and began to massage him again. I ain't no chump, Lara. A simple hand job isn't going to cut it, Price told her. She pushed him off her and into the seat as she slid onto her knees. Who said anything about that? Sit back, Captain. Let me worship you, she said as she reached for his fly. She watched his face as her hands worked to free him. He seemed torn between his desire to be inside her and allowing her to continue. The memory of her blowing him in the VIP room seemed to make his mind up. Fine, but this had better be the best damned head in the world, he said gruffly as he eased back into the seat. Captain, that's the only type of head I ever give, Lara answered with a sly grin. She had already freed his length as they spoke. It pointed straight at her. It was just as large as she remembered. It even had the same musky scent as last time. She held him at his base and moved closer to lick his head with her tongue. Price made an audible sigh as she made contact with his head. She ran her wet tongue up and down his length, coating him in her saliva. She needed to go slow and drag this out. They needed to arrive at his place with his balls still full. She wanted him at his angriest and most vitriolic for the video. He needed to be pent up and hopping mad for the full effect. She spent over a minute just lapping at his frenulum as she maintained eye contact with him. He was obviously enjoying the sensation, but impatient for more. Take me in your mouth, he ordered. Lara dared not refuse him. So slowly brought the head to her mouth and closed her lips around just the tip. He was girthy and her lips stretched wide to accommodate him. She moaned around him with just the head of his cock in her mouth. She sucked as hard as she could and he gasped as her cheeks hollowed with the effort. She bobbed just an inch and started to blow him at a languid pace. Another minute of this and she moved on. She took more of him, bobbing her head slowly, taking him inch by increasing inch. But she never set an erratic rhythm, never sucked him with anything more than a gentle pressure. She could feel him throbbing against her tongue, could feel the way his cock jerked and twitched at her teasing. She kept her touch gentle as her tongue lapped at the underside of his cock as she worked. But after several minutes, Price's impatience boiled over. He grabbed a fistful of her hair and forced her down, firmly. She felt him hit the back of her throat and relaxed her throat to allow him inside it. Price rocked his hips forward and moved her head of his own accord, attempting to urge her on, to force a harder pace. Lara could remember that this had happened last time. He had taken control and fucked her face. She couldn't allow that to happen this time. He'd almost certainly come if that continued. He was too strong to physically resist, so she did what she had to. She grazed her teeth over his sensitive flesh and he immediately let go in shock and worry. "What the fuck, Lara?" Price said angrily as his cock left her mouth suddenly. Lara just smiled at him, trying to play the bite off as playful. She reached down and fondled his heavy balls, rolling them gently in her palms as she talked. "You need to let me work, Captain. Trust me, you'll enjoy it more if you allow me to show you my skills. I can deep throat you better if you don't force it. Just rest your hand on my head and let me show you," she told him. She didn't wait for an answer and dove her head back down on him, taking him to the hilt. Price groaned again as she did it, his fingers tightening in her hair as he felt her hot and silky throat engulfing him. Lara gurgled slightly around him as she felt his pelvis press against her chin. He stared down at her. She had taken him all the way. His cock was buried in her completely. She held him there for a moment, her nose pressed into the organized and clearly managed hair at the base of his cock. "He obviously trims," she thought as she swallowed slowly, around him, her throat muscles massaging his length as she did it. Finally, in a slow and torturous manner, she backed off him and began to bob her head. Her movements were faster than before, but still measured and controlled. She pulled back until just the tip of his cock remained between her lips, and then she sank back down, taking him to the hilt once more. The minutes passed as Lara set a steady rhythm, an unhurried pace that had Price panting and grunting above her. She struck the balance between pleasing him just enough to keep him from taking back control, but not so much as that he came down her throat. And it was working. She knew that he was loving it from the sounds he was making and the squirming coming from him in his seat. Price stared down at the goddess on her knees in front of him. This was new for him. He never allowed a woman to control the pace. By now he would always be skull-fucking the woman. He would dominate and take what he wanted. And he loved it. But he had to admit this had a certain charm to it. The encounter in the back of the limo had been going on for quite a while. He didn't have an exact time, but he estimated she had been expertly edging him for 20 minutes by now. He rested his hand on the top of her head as she worked him. She was gifted, there was no doubting it. Not many women could deep throat him, and those that could struggled immensely. Lara was not struggling. She was practiced and confident in her abilities, with only the occasional gag or gurgle sound hinting that this was any sort of effort for her. Still, as nice as it felt, he was still in charge. He'd remind her of that now. "You were right, that does feel amazing, but I'm ready to come now," Price said as he gripped the sides of her head with both his hands. "No more messing around, I don't want to feel teeth this time." Price lunged forward from his seated position and pushed her backwards towards the seats across from them. She felt her head hit the front of the soft cushioned seat as he was now hunched over her, half standing as much as the limo would allow. Lara's eyes went wide as he held her down and roughly started to fuck into her mouth at a hurried and frenzied pace. Price's hips slapped against her face with each powerful thrust as he fucked her mouth with complete disregard for her. Lara could only hold on as he used her, his cock slamming into the back of her throat again and again, making it difficult for her to breathe. God fucking damn it. Again? You let this happen again? But at this point, there was nothing she could do except take it. She was drooling everywhere now, and she could feel the thick head of his dick punching the entrance to her throat as Price used her. Price's grunting and the unmistakable sounds of a thorough throat fucking filled the back of the limo. She knew that the privacy divider wouldn't cover the loud and obscene sounds of her gluck, 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 glurk. The driver would know what was happening. It was then that Lara felt the car start to slow and stop. "We are here, sir," she heard over the limo speakers as the driver announced their arrival. Price ignored him and kept thrusting down Lara's throat. He intended to finish, and he was close. "Sir, if we continue to sit here, I'll have to charge you for another hour," the disembodied voice said through the speaker. Price swore under his breath and finally released her. Lara gasped for air and coughed a few times, finally free of the throat fucking. "We'll continue this inside," Price said gruffly as he exited the limo, none too happy about not being able to finish, but clearly unwilling to throw money away. Lara silently thanked his cheapness and the driver for saving her from him as she continued to pant and try to regain her composure. "He didn't come. This can still work," she reassured herself as she smoothed her dress down, grabbed her purse, and reached for the door. She joined him outside on unsteady legs, still feeling the effects of the face fuck on her equilibrium. Price turned to face her as she straightened up and surprised her by handing her his keys. "Go let yourself in and wait for me on the bed while I settle up with the driver," Price told her. He was still red-faced from his exertion and looked ready to murder someone, so she didn't argue. She gave the driver a wan smile as she walked away from them both. Price's place was not an apartment, it was a house. House? This is more like a bloody mansion. The exterior of the mansion looked old, but not in a run-down or dilapidated way, more like an old money and stately kind of way. The brickwork was a deep red and gave the building a refined look. There were several large arched windows at the front, along with a couple of ornate electric lanterns lighting the entire front of the house in a warm glow. She walked up the stone steps and approached the large front door. She unlocked it with the key provided by Price. As she stepped inside, there was no beeping sound of an alarm and no panel in which to input a code. Lara figured that Price didn't feel the need for one. Who was dumb enough to rob a cop? Besides, he was armed. The floor was wooden, and she spotted the living room to her right through an open door. To her left was a giant staircase which curved up to the second level. She made to climb them, assuming his bedroom was up there. She marveled at how rich the house felt. She knew Price could never afford a place like this on a captain's salary, which lent further credence to Mike's theory that he was dirty and on the take. He clearly had more dealings in the works than just with Dave, that was for sure. Part of her wanted to explore the place, but she knew Price wouldn't be far behind her and she needed to reach the bedroom first so she could set up. She walked along the long hall, passing several closed doors, but headed towards one that was already ajar. She opened it fully and found what she assumed was the master bedroom. It was certainly large enough. It was dominated by an imposing king-size bed. It had a wooden base and frame and was topped with black silk sheets. What a surprise, of course he has silk sheets. She imagined how many women he had paid to join him between those silk sheets. But she couldn't dally. She scanned the room, looking for a place to hide her phone, in a place that he wouldn't notice, but that would still have a good view of the expected encounter. She chose a bookcase opposite the end of the bed. She approached it and quickly shifted a couple of the books around and took her phone out of her clutch purse. She set it to record and then carefully balanced it on its side, pointing the front-facing camera towards the bed. She looked back and forth a few times and adjusted it until she was satisfied. She placed a couple of books in front of it and then stepped back. You couldn't notice it unless you knew exactly where it was. It would suffice. The odds of him seeing it were slim. She went back to the bed and sat down, positioning her purse beside her. It had her taser in it. She'd need it. but she couldn't get too trigger happy right away. She had to let enough happen to incriminate him. She knew that and was prepared for it. Her thoughts were interrupted by Price entering the room and closing the door behind him. He took several steps forward and stood in front of her as his eyes raked over her body. She knew the look in those eyes. They were hungry and predatory. "Take off your dress, Lara," he said. Lara knew it was time for her performance. "I'd rather not, Captain. Can't we just talk for a little bit?" she asked meekly. "Strip," Price commanded her, his tone leaving no room for disobedience. "I want you naked, right now." Lara stood as she reached behind her and slowly pulled the zip down on her little black dress. She shimmied out of it, letting it pull at her feet until she was left standing completely naked before him. She hadn't worn any underwear at all. His eyes focused on her gravity-defying tits as they rose and fell with her breathing. "Get on the bed," Price said. "Look, Captain Price, Edward," Lara said, being sure to use his full name for the video's benefit. "We've had a nice time, but now that it's come to it, I think I'd rather go home. Would you take me home, please?" she said, knowing this would really set him off. His eyes went wide and he clenched his fists at his side. "Are you fucking kidding me? You tease and tease me all fucking night and now you say no?" he half shouted as he strode towards her. "Get on the goddamn bed," he bellowed as he grasped her by the shoulders and roughly spun her around. He shoved her down on the bed and held her roughly with one hand as he undid his belt with the other. Lara was surprised at his strength as he pinned her face down, her upper half pressed firmly into his silk sheets as her legs dangled off the bed. "Please stop, Captain Price. I don't want this," she cried out, her voice slightly muffled by the sheets. "Well, I fucking do," Price said, as he continued to pin her with one hand and lined up his cock at her entrance with the other as he stood on the side of the bed. She cried out as he slammed forward and buried himself in her. Price set a punishing pace, his hips slapping against hers as he took her hard and fast, grunting with the exertion of his thrusts. "I want you to stop, stop," she shouted. "Just shut up and take it," he said as he fucked her. She knew how big he was, but was still surprised at how much he filled her up and stretched her. She grunted as he pounded into her from behind, her face held down into the sheets and mattress. "Okay, that's enough. I have what I need," she thought, as she reached out for her purse with her hand. She had placed it on the bed, just within reach. She needed to get her taser out, stun him, grab her phone and run. That had been the plan anyway, but she hadn't accounted for how physical he would be with her. She was grasping at thin air with her hand, desperately trying to reach the clutch purse and open it. She couldn't see as he forced her face into the mattress. Finally, she felt it on her fingertips and closed her hand around the purse, but just as quickly, she lost it again. Price had reached forward and grabbed it from her. He growled as he flung the small purse with venom across the room. Lara heard it smash into something solid and fall to the floor with a loud clang. Oh, fuck, no, there goes my escape. Lara's plan had disintegrated in seconds, and any notion of capturing him in an attempted rape was now well and truly out the window. He was going to fuck her. It was a certainty. "What has gotten into you? You act like you want this all night long, and then we get to it, and you behave like this," Price said in anger and confusion as he continued to rifle into her. He didn't quite get it, but at this point he didn't care. She wasn't going to act the tease and then pretend like she didn't want it. I don't know what her game is. Maybe she likes to roleplay? Does she get off on it? Either way, I'm gonna fuck her senseless. Lara felt some relief as she felt his hands stop pressing into her back. Both his hands now gripped her hips hard enough to bruise as he slammed into her over and over. "You stupid bitch," Lara thought to herself between his thrusts. "You shouldn't have agreed to come home with him." She gasped in surprise as she felt him pull out of her. He grabbed her and pushed her fully onto the bed and then flipped her onto her back. He was on her in a second, now with the pair of them lying on the bed in a missionary position. Price abruptly hooked his arms behind her knees and pulled her legs up almost to her chest. He pushed her legs up and out, folding her nearly in half as he loomed above her. Her legs were locked straight and in the air nearly behind her head as she was spread-eagled beneath him. With a grip on her ankles, she watched his face as he entered her again. He was a mask of concentration as he fucked her with deep, powerful strokes. Fuck yeah. You feel so fucking tight around me, Price mumbled. The position was very uncomfortable for Lara. It was hard for her to breathe, but she could only stare up at Price as he took her. She was at his complete mercy. Price loved the fear in her eyes as he looked down at her. He didn't care if it was real or part of her play. It made him feel powerful knowing he had a woman as beautiful as her in his bed. He reveled in the power, in the complete control he held over her. He knew he could do whatever he wanted to her sexy little body. Her tits jiggled violently under him as he pistoned into her again and again. He reached out and groped them as he fucked her. It did the trick. The evening's teasing and build-up, coupled with the feeling of her pussy around him, sent him over the edge. The feeling of her soft flesh in his hand was the icing on the cake. Fuck, Price groaned. Price slammed into Lara at a furious pace as he came. His cock pulsed as he emptied his balls deep inside her. He continued to grip her ankles as he bent her legs towards her, still trying, it seemed, to fold the woman in half as he released the last of his load. Lara felt the last of his cum spurt inside her. He was finished. She hoped he would release the hold on her. She was getting lightheaded from the difficulty breathing. She certainly hadn't come herself. The position was too awkward for her to enjoy it. But Price didn't release her. For a few moments, he remained still, gripping her legs and panting harshly as the aftershocks of his intense release coursed through him. He pulled his cock out of her, but it was still hard. She was surprised, but he certainly wasn't. Price knew that had just been round one. Without warning, he flipped Lara over onto her side. His hand gripped her hip as he spooned behind her. He lifted one of her legs up slightly, and before she could even catch her breath, he was inside her again, spearing into her with renewed vigor. What the hell? He's not done? The shock had clearly shown on her face before he had flipped her on her side. Price laughed as he fucked her in this new sideways position at a more sedate pace now. You thought we were done? Sweetheart, sex with me isn't like it is with those other chumps. I can go and go and then go again. You'll learn, he said into her ear. Lara could feel his breath against her neck as his free hand roamed over her curves possessively as he thrust into her. Lara moaned aloud. She couldn't help it. It was a relief to be out of the previous position. This one was much more enjoyable, and despite herself, she felt a familiar wave of pleasure shoot through her. He was still a pig. She still despised him. But she would only be lying to herself if she didn't admit that he felt really good inside her now. More relaxed now following his release, Price fucked her steadily. He paid more attention to her body, her curves, her incredible tits, and how they felt in his hands. She's a good fuck, no doubt about it. Still a bit too willful, though. She needs to learn to take direction. I'll have to work on that. And so he did. He stopped thrusting and pulled out of her cunt. Why did you stop? Lara asked, turning her head towards him in surprise. She hated herself as soon as she said it. It made her sound weak. It also blurred the lines a bit and made it seem like she was a willing participant. Am I a willing participant? She asked herself. Before she could finish the thought, Price rolled onto his back and pulled her on top of him. She sighed almost in contentment as she slid back into him, his hands now gripping her hips as he started to rock her up and down on his thick shaft. Ride me, Price commanded her, clearly wanting her to do the work for a while. Lara found her hips starting to move of their own accord. She rolled and undulated against Price's cock, enjoying the feeling of friction she felt as he slid in and out of her. She arched her back as she rode him, moaning softly to herself. Price leaned back and watched her as she worked. Her hair had fallen free of its fancy bun and was now cascading down, some of it behind her and some of it down her front. Her breast bounced in a pleasing manner with each rise and fall. Her eyes were closed, and Price knew she was enjoying herself. He had let her take control so that he could rest, but also to prove a point. He smirked as he watched her bite her lip to stifle a louder moan. She could pretend all she wanted, but ultimately, that's all it was. Pretend. Once he was inside her, all that strong, independent woman nonsense just fell away. She'd feel his cock and want to get off. "That's it," he said with a smile. "Ride me like the little whore that you are." Lara opened her eyes and looked down at him, her face now scrunched up in disgust. "If you call me a whore again, I'm going to break your dick off," she said, her features showing clear signs of anger. But she didn't stop what she was doing. He simply laughed at her and started to meet her downward grind by thrusting himself up into her. She moaned loudly as he did it, unable to hide how it made her feel. Her movements became more confident, more fluid, her hips grinding against him as she picked up the pace. Yes, she was livid with him and what was happening, but that didn't mean she wasn't going to take at least some enjoyment from the whole sorry encounter. That was her own internal rationalization anyway. Lara was now rising nearly all the way off Price's cock before impaling herself fully once more in a rapid manner. She leaned backwards and rested both her hands on his legs as she rode him aggressively for her own pleasure. She was wet and slick now and could feel each movement and drag of his hard flesh against her sensitive walls. "You can't help yourself, can you? Desperate for my cock, for the pleasure that only I can give you," Price gloated as he looked up at her. "Do you ever stop? Can you just shut up for 5 seconds? Lara answered, glaring down at him as she slammed herself down on his hardness again and again. She was finally getting somewhere, and his frequent chauvinistic musings were distracting. Lara could feel the tension coiling tighter and tighter low in her belly. She knew her climax wasn't far away and figured she could get there if the pig would just do her the courtesy of laying there quietly. She wanted his cock, not his running commentary. But Price had no intention of either staying quiet nor simply laying there. The rest had done him some good and he was about to retake control. Price grabbed her roughly round the waist and practically threw her off him and onto her belly. She yelped in surprise as he did it. He shoved her forward with ease and manhandled her into the position he wanted. Lara found herself bent forward near the head of the bed, on all fours as he entered her from behind. She reached out with both her arms for the headboard of the bed and used it for purchase as he started to fuck her doggy style. Price's hands were wrapped firmly around her hips as he fucked her for all he was worth. Lara moaned and gasped, any thoughts of protesting long forgotten now. She could feel every inch of him. She could feel his substantial length and the thick drag of his cock as it pulled out, only to slam back in. Lara didn't consider herself a size queen, but there was simply no denying that Price's length and girth filled her up completely in a way that some men just couldn't. Her hair moved and fell dramatically in tangled waves around her face as she braced herself against the headboard. She used it to help take the force of his thrusts as he slammed into her again and again. Each thrust was powerful and almost drove the air from her lungs. Price laughed with glee as he felt Lara throw her body back to meet him now on each thrust. Some of the women he had sex with simply laid there like a slab of meat. Others might go through the motions but would never truly sell it. This one was different. It had taken a while to warm her up, but she was well and truly enjoying the dicking he was giving her. She really is built for this. I'll have to make a deal with Dave and make this a regular thing. She's worth the hassle. Lara's magnificent breasts swayed and bounced with each forceful and savage thrust from Price. Price stared at the sides of them from his position behind her. "So big and perfect, I can even see them from behind. Sidewinders," he laughed to himself. He couldn't resist reaching out and grabbing them again. As Price's hand engulfed one of Lara's breasts, she gasped sharply, the sudden contact sending a jolt of pleasure through her. His fingers sank into the pliant flesh, kneading and squeezing them hungrily. "Fucking incredible tits," Price panted, his breath labored now from the exertion as he continued to relentlessly fuck her. He pinched one of her nipples between his thumb and his forefinger. He started to roll the red bud as he hammered into her. Lara's breathing was also labored and was coming in short and sharp gasps now. The dual sensations of his hand on her breast and his thick shaft plunging into her dripping cunt pushed her rapidly towards her own orgasm. Her eyes rolled back in her head and her mouth fell open as she started to come. Price could feel her entire body shudder as electric jolts of bliss surged through every nerve ending in her body. She arched her back, pressing her tits more firmly into Price's groping hand as her hips bucked, still meeting each of his thrusts. She felt her walls spasm and grip his cock as wave after wave of her climax flowed through her. Price wasn't far behind. He removed his hand from her tits and gripped her long hair with it, yanking her head back as he fucked her. His balls had drawn up tight against his body, and the way her cunt was milking him was too much for him to resist. Fuck, I'm coming! Fuck! His pace never slowed as he came. It felt even better than his first orgasm as he shot load after load into her. Lara could feel it. Price continued to pound into her through the aftershocks of her own intense orgasm, and she knew without being told that he was coming. She felt the unmistakable heat of his release shooting inside her as he rocked his hips erratically, trying to draw out every last drop of his second orgasm of the night. His thrusts finally slowed as he shot the last few weak spurts into her warm and wet pussy. He worked himself in and out at this slow pace for over a minute until he finally stopped moving. He stayed inside her after he stopped and just left his cock there for a while, basking in the feeling and enjoying the new sensitive sensations running through his length. Eventually, he started to pull out. He heard Lara moan softly as he did it. Lara collapsed forward onto her stomach as he rolled over onto his back beside her. They were both panting and out of breath from the exertion and enjoying the after effects of their own orgasms. "You're welcome," Price said smugly, closing his eyes in satisfaction. What an absolute asshole. Arrogant prick, she thought to herself. But she didn't respond aloud, choosing to ignore him. It wasn't worth it. Ultimately, she was too spent to care. "You can stay or go if you want. Your choice," Price told her simply as he pulled his silk sheets over his body, clearly intending to sleep now. Lara had no intention of staying the night with him. She would get dressed, grab her phone, and be gone in 2 minutes flat. She just needed to recover first. She'd rest for a while and then go. As she drifted into an unexpected and unwanted sleep, her last conscious thoughts were of her hidden phone as she wondered whether the footage would be good enough to make her plan work, to make this ill-conceived adventure worth the trouble. Unbeknownst to her, the phone was no longer perched in its hidden spot on the bookshelf. Her purse, which Price had violently thrown across the room earlier, had hit the bookshelf hard, dislodging the phone and sending it hurtling towards the unforgiving floor. The phone now lay there, smashed and in pieces, of no use to anyone at all.